Session number 12678, Mr. Ernest Jones, Reel 13.
Mr. Jones, Reel 13, you were telling me about how you were walking back to the hospital
yes.
with your ex-girlfriend.
So, anyhow, before I left her, I kissed her. And so she said, come again next Thursday. So I said, yes, right, oh, I will. And she said, I've given the other chap up, she said. And she says, I'll come up to the hospital sometime and see you as well. So she started coming up to the hospital to me and me going there. And it turned out after, some months later, she said, well, I liked you as a boy, she said, but I loved you as a man. You know, I suppose I was a bit of a greenhorn when I was a youngster. A little and... and of course I married her.
After, yeah. Was that before you left, after you left the hospital though?
Oh yes, her. I was sent to...
Did they give you any treatment while you were at the hospital?
Yes.
What did they do to try and get you...
Well, they tried massage, they tried all kinds of things.
What other kinds of things, and, do you remember?
Well, keeping them wrapped up in cotton wool and they keeping me... foot wrapped up in cotton wool and all that, and I had a slipper on all the time on that foot, you see. And this other went on remarkably well, and I was able to get me boot on, you see, with them. And by this time I'd got some new boots, and I was allowed to wear civilian boots, so that was better. And So then I was moved from there to Churchstoke, Montgomery. And I was
in
a big country house where it was made into a hospital. And that was a very good place to be at. The school children used to send us eggs for our breakfast. And they always put their names on the eggs when we had it for our breakfast. And they were very good to me there. And
how long did you stay there for?
I think I was there for about a month.
So this had been the spring, edging into the early
That's
summer.
That's right, yes. Yes, we were getting on then. And
was you left... your left foot was now better, and your right foot, you could get a boot onto it.
That's right, and my right foot was the trouble.
And could you get a boot on your right foot as well by then, or was it still...
Not while I was there, no.
Gotcha. Still on the slipper. So it's the left foot you could get a boot on,
yes.
You?
And then they sent round, an officer come round, and it was a more or less a purge on the hospitals, that anybody that was you'd got to be up to a standard of ailments and all the rest of it, or else you were out of hospital. You know, they did that during the First World War a lot. So they didn't have any much mercy on you. And I was sent from there, and I went to the Rekin Hospital, which was an old workhouse.
Where's that?
Just across houses, the other side, well, between Wellington and Shrewsbury. And it is cross houses. And that was the old workhouse.
So were you weeded out of the other hospital, or Churchstoke?
Churchstoke.
When the officer came round, did he pick you out as not being bad enough to be in a hospital? Or
yes, I was sent there. It was a case of, well... we got to clear the hospitals a bit. So.
But you were sent to another hospital?
Ah, yes. but not. It was a proper military hospital. That's what I was sent to. Anyhow, from there I managed to get.
Was it not such a good?
That I could get my shoe, my boot on, my right foot, and I was walking with sticks, two sticks, see, instead of the crutches. And I went to the and I was then they was I was turned out of hospital, and sent back to my depot at Copthorne Barracks.
And when did you go back to your barracks? When which month would that be?
Oh, I don't know.
It'd roughly.
Be about June or something, July, something like that.
June 1918.
Uh-huh. And so I went from there. Where am I?
Copthorne Barracks.
Yes, and what they did with me there, they put me on the military police in the barracks, and I was in charge of about half a dozen Sinn Féiners brought from Ireland, and I was taking them about the barracks, you know, to do fatigues like in the cookhouse.
Were they the Sinn Féiners? Were they actually members of the regiment, or were they captured?
Oh no,
they were
brought from Ireland.
Prisoners.
Yes, they were prisoners.
And were you actually just an ordinary private, or were you given a stripe to run?
I was an ordinary private.
And what was the attitude of the Sinn Féiners? What were they like as people?
What, the
Irish?
Sinn Féiners. Oh, very haughty and that, and you have a job to get them to do anything, really. And
what sort of
they were going to be tried, you see, and they were tried by a military court at Copthorne Barracks, and they had so many years jail. And I remember we were lined up in a square, and they were brought in and sentenced in front of the whole company, you know, and they were the escort was there with fixed bayonets with them and all that, and they were being marched from there to Shrewsbury Jail, you see, for prisons. And
so they then went to a civilian jail.
Yes. And they were civilians. And as they were shouting, it was a case of, "Up, Sinn Féin, we'll be back, we'll be back. It's up, Sinn Féin." And they shouted as they left the barracks and all that. You know, they were a crowd, they were. And then, of course...
Did you sympathise with them at all?
I didn't, no. Who can sympathise with the Sinn Féiners? Good Lord, the IRA is the Sinn Féiners. And no, I got no sympathy with them. And then I was sent, they got a bit tired of me being at the barracks, walking on sticks. They sent me to a rehabilitation centre at Knowsley Park, Liverpool. And I was sent there for to be made into a soldier again. And...
So that would be July, August.
Yes. And they were... sent... Then and I was on parade there with these two sticks, and I was in a squad as was marched off this way, and we went into the fields, a part of the park, you know, and it was long grass, and... we were standing there, and the sergeant come to me, and he said, "Oh," he said, "you are." He said, "I want you to walk through the grass." He said, "So far, I'll tell you to when I tell you to stop, get down in the grass." So of course I went off, and he said, "Righto, get down in the grass." So I got down in the grass, and the other chaps had got. Rifles, see, and dummies, ammunition, and all that, and so he put them to lie down, and facing me, and he said, "Now I want you to pop up and down, out of the grass," he said, "now and again." So, and they were firing at me while I popped up.
With blanks.
That's what I had to do, rehabilitation. I was there for about 10 days. They couldn't make a soldier of me.
Could you not? I mean, you could walk with sticks, but were your feet still painful?
Oh yes, we were painful, all right.
So, although you could, the left one had got better, and then the right one, but better was relative. They were better than they were, but they were better. Is that right?
Yes. They were getting better. Yes.
But they were still painful.
They were still painful, and the right one was the worst all the time.
So you were there about 10 days. Did you do anything else while you were at the rehabilitation centre?
Oh, no, I didn't do anything else. I couldn't do much. I didn't do any marching or anything else. I couldn't march with sticks. And they sent me back to the depot.
Back to Copthorne Barracks.
Unsuitable to be an efficient soldier. Well, I come back to the depot at Shrewsbury. I was there for about a week. And then I was sent to Park Hall Camp, Oswestry, for discharge from the army.
How did you feel about that?
Pardon? I mean,
how did you feel about that? Would you have liked to have been able to go back and join your unit? Or
No, I wanted to get out of the army.
Had you had enough?
Oh, I'd had enough. I wanted to get out of the army. And I was sent back for discharge, so that was okay.
What happened at Park Hall Camp?
Well,
what happened on you? That would be demobilized.
I was there, and of course, we were got to go before what we called the auction board. That was, you were marched into a room, and there was a chalk square in the room. And you stood on that chalk square, and round there was the tables round like that. The colonel there, captains or majors and captains and majors, round different, all from the different corps, RASC, Labour Corps, ASC, all that. You see, representatives of their corps. And then the captain said, the colonel would say, read out your name and number. And he'd say, do you want to stay in the army? And I said, I'm afraid I can't, sir. Oh, why can't you? Well, sir, I can't stand. I can't do any marching or anything. He said, have you any trade? I said, yes, sir. He says, what trade are you? I said, I'm a shoemaker. Oh, that did it. Royal Army Ordnance Corps, you want shoemakers. He says, well, I'm afraid walking with sticks, he wouldn't be much good to us, sir. ASC, you want shoemakers. I'm afraid you wouldn't be any much good to us, sir. Why can't you carry? He said, can you carry on with your trade? And I said, no, sir. He said, why can't you carry on with your trade? I said, I can't stand long enough, sir. He says, I always thought that a shoemaker sat down to his trade. I said, yes, but I said, some do, I said, but I'm a benchman. So I got it all taped. I said, I'm a benchman.
Was that not true?
Well, I could do both.
But you weren't going to tell them that.
I'd serve my apprenticeship.
But you weren't going to tell them.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to tell them. No. So he said, a Labour Corps. He said, you want shoemakers, don't you? And he said, yes, sir, we do. He says, well, take him and give him a sitting down job. So I was drafted into the Labour Corps. And I was put on the 540 Home Service Labour Battalion. And then from Park Hall, I was told that I'd got to, I was in the Labour Corps. And I was going on parade wearing my KSLI badges all the time. So and the Sergeant Major said, you'll get your Labour Corps badges on. He said, we're not having you wearing the wrong badges here.
And where was this Labour Corps Battalion, the 540 Home Service Labour Battalion?
I don't know. I stopped at Park Hall for the time being. And then, of course, it come that you are to report to the 49th Training Reserve Battalion at Preseath on Monday at 9 o'clock next Monday.
That's the 49th Reserve...
49th Training Reserve Battalion. So
that you never actually got to join the 540 Home Service Labour Battalion?
Only in the... Well, I was at Park Hall. But I was still in the Labour Corps. See? And you'll see it on that plaque there. And then I went... to report to the Sergeant Shoemaker there.
At Preseath?
Yes, at Preseath. Of course, I naturally went and I was still walking with a stick. I'd got one stick then. And I was still walking with a stick and I went in 9 o'clock on the Monday morning and there was about four or five there doing jobs, and the sergeant was sitting there, and I went in and I said, Jones, reporting for duty, 9 o'clock this morning. He says, oh, you're the chap as I'm supposed to have. I said, oh, that's right. He says, what can you do? So I said, what do you mean, what can I do? That is such a daft question to me. I said, what do you mean, Sergeant? What can I do? Well, he said, you come here as a shoemaker, aren't you? I said, that's right, yes. He says, well, can you do a bit of riveting or putting studs in or anything like that? I looked at him and I said, I'm a tradesman. I serve my apprenticeship. Ah, they all tell me that, he said. They all tell me that. So I said, I can do any job that you want me to do, because I could. And so he said, oh, well, go on, he said. And, right. Well, this is your bench, he said. Here's your apron, he said. There's some boots down there. He said, rip the soles off. The worst job as ever he could give me, ripping the whole soles off the army boots. Of course, I started on this job doing that. Well, of course, that went on. I said, this job's no good to me, Sergeant. I'm a tradesman, and I don't want to be kept here ripping soles off. I said, I want to do some work. So he was a... I don't think he was a fully-fledged one himself. So he didn't... I think he was a bit afraid. And he said, we'll take those, one of them chaps off and you'll go there, he says. And he says, tack some soles up. He said, put some soles on, he said, after they've been passed to you. So, of course, that was getting on a bit more. So I started that job and... Then I said to him after, I said, haven't you got anything better as I can do? And he said, I'll put a chap on there. He said, tacking on, he said, well, and you can finish off with him. So I said, righto. So he put this chap on there, and of course I used... doing this as he did them, I finished them off and that, and I was waiting, and he said, "What are you waiting for?" I said, "I'm waiting for him to get some work." So he put two chaps on, tacking up. I kept the two of them on, and he used to go off, you see, and. and he'd be away on Mondays. I don't know what happened, where he went, but he was away on Mondays always. And so I was put in charge when he was away. And anyhow, I was there sitting on the bench and talking to an ATS girl that was in the shop, and the other chaps were working there, and they got ever so many pairs, you know, done, ready for me. And the sergeant walked in while I was sitting on my bench. He come in, he said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Aren't you working?" He said, "Look at all that work there." I said, "I've been waiting for him." So he said, "What do you mean you're waiting for him?" I said, "I can keep those two on and a third if you want some work done." And of course I cleared these lot, see? And I got to know something, that the work that was done in that shop was so many, there were so many pairs a week a man had to do, 30 pairs a week, all over 30 pairs done in the shop were bonus payments from the headquarters. So I said, I got to know that in other places the chaps did them and counted their own, you see, and got bonus for all they did over 30 pairs. So and he used, this sergeant used to have sergeants and all that bringing civilian pairs in to the ship to be done, see. And while I was doing nothing, I used to do some of these civilian things for him. But it never struck me that, of course, he was getting the money for them. And he was using army leather. And anyhow, they, when we had the leather come from headquarters in the bales, sacking bales, he always had a wooden box. And always so many of these souls were put into this wooden box, and so many kept in the shop. And this wooden box always went. I never saw it go, but it went. And I found out after it come to it, he was arrested. And he'd been systematically sending this leather to his own shop in Manchester. And his cellar was full of army leather. And so he was set up, and he had 6 months. And I was made Sergeant Shoemaker.
Now, when had you arrived at Precis?
Well, then, no.
When had you got at Precis? It was before the war ended, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
So when would it be August?
And then, something like that. And it went on. And then...
You hadn't got married yet, though?
No, oh no. No, and...
So you became a sergeant, I mean...
I was a sergeant then.
Sergeant, did you go to the sergeant?
In charge of the shoemaker shop.
Could you walk on without your sticks yet?
With my stick, yes. With my stick. I'm walking with a stick. And, it was early in the new year.
Did you sort January, out this system then? I mean, so that they got the men got the extra money. Did you sort out the system?
Yes, and I used to get £8 a month for extra work that I did.
That you'd done?
Yes.
And did the men under you, you made sure they
yes,
got their money
that's
as
right.
well?
Yes. Yes.
Did you manage to stop any more?
We divided it.
Did you manage to stop any more stealing going on?
Oh, well, he'd gone, so there was no stealing.
There's no one else doing it.
There was no one else in it. Nobody else had got. They weren't actually shoemakers. They were folks that had been put there because they were no good for anything else. And they just got them to do these jobs. No wonder he wanted to know what I could do. He'd got the chaps poked onto him to get him out the road.
So you were doing that for about 4 or 5 months?
Yes, and then,
do you remember any celebrations when the war ended?
In January.
Hang on, when the war ended in November, do you remember any...
The armistice was signed.
Was there any celebrations where you were?
No, no.
How did you feel about the end of the war?
Well, nothing much, I thought. There was a chance that they might get out the army. That's all.
But it didn't excite you that much?
Oh, no, it didn't excite me. I'd done my fighting, so it didn't matter much to me. And then in the early January, or sometime during January, my feet started to go bad again.
Why and was that?
Hey?
Why? Was there any...
The frost and all that was seemed to be affecting my feet.
So the cold weather?
That's probably. Right, yes. And I was sent to hospital then in Preseath. And I was in the hospital at Preseath for a week or two. And then I was sent from there to Liverland, Liverpool, to the discharge centre for discharge from the army. And from there, I had a medical board and they granted me 20% pension a week, and that was 5 shillings a week pension. And so I come out of the army in 1919. Now, you see that? Go and read that.
So that's a discharge for February the 8th, 1919.
Yes.
Now, did you get any payment, you know, sort of demobilisation payment or bounty or anything?
Yes, I got £15. You know, what did they call it? I don't know, it was £15.
And did you get any a suit or anything?
Any what?
Any clothes given?
Oh no,
clothes?
Only what I stood up in. Oh, I got a suit. Army, a civilian suit and a muffler and a cap. And of course, my army boots. And that was it.
Now, you came out of the army. You'd grown up in the army, hadn't you, really?
Yeah.
Yes. What were you going to do? Did you decide to go back to...
Well, I was going back to my own trade. Shoemaking. But of course, it had gone. I mean, there was no shoes being made by hand then, after the First World War, like there was before it. There was no gentry to have it. It seemed the gentry had all gone. They'd like us used to have the shoes made to measure. There was nobody about like that. And so I used my £15 to buy a sewing machine, like for patching, and a few tools and a bit of leather, and started at home in the shed on the garden here. And there was six in Castlefields, where there was only one before the war. Six of us. There was no trade, nothing to do. And I had a brother that was on the railway, my eldest brother, at Oaken Gates, and he came home one day and I was saying about I should have to do something, and he said I'll have a scout round on my bike, he said, and see if there's any place round us. And he did, and he said, he let me know that there was a shop, a trench that's between Wellington and Newport, was vacant, and he thought I could start repairing shoes there, see. And so I went over on my bike, and I saw the landlord and took it over, 3 and 6 a week, and I started there, all doing everything by hand, you see, because I'd got no machinery, no nothing, only just the patching machine. And then I went on from there.
Did you build up a successful business?
Well, to a certain extent. But I made no money. You see, I'd been taught to do my work too good. I couldn't get out of that. I'd got to do it too good. It took me too long. If it took me half an hour to do a pair of boots longer, to do them properly, it didn't matter to me. That was, I'd got to do it. So there I'd got to go. What else could I do? I just got to do, I was taught that way. So I'd got to keep on.